there has been a lot of research with modern astronomers detecting perturbations in the outer planets, as if there's something pulling at the planets that they can't still clearly define what that is. Once they got to Uranus, they were able to detect that there was still a pull on it leading out to Neptune. So once they got to Neptune, they were able to detect that there's still a pull being asserted, and Pluto, being as small as it is, could not account for that anomalous pull. So that led them to believe, doing mathematical calculations, that that pull is being exerted by another planet farther outside of our solar system, which has now been labeled as Planet X.
The hunt for Planet X is nothing new. In fact, scientists thought Pluto was Planet X to explain the gravitational anomalies in our solar system. Many scientists now believe that our solar system, like most solar systems in the universe, is binary, having two suns. Now, the Sumerians tell us that Nibiru takes 3,600 years to complete one orbit. How could it have such a long elliptical orbit? Well, it would explain it if it had to go around two suns to get back into our inner solar system. This would account for its 3,600-year orbit.
Our scientists have recently come aware of what they call extrasolar planets or traveling planets, brown dwarfs that are suns that are too small to really light, but kind of smolder and emit their own light. Sometimes they're called wandering planets or wanderers. Most suns are binaries. Our sun is a binary. Our sun's twin never lit. It is a dark, dead sun in a fixed position in space, as our sun is a fixed position in space. This particular large planet, which travels and comes in over only every 3,657 years, is orbiting both the suns, where the rest of the planets in our solar system are orbiting only the one sun. That's why it comes into our solar system only every 3,657 years and is gone for a long time.
The chief scientist of the IRAS satellite actually announced having found this planet December 30th, 1983. It was picked up by six dailies. It made the Washington Post. It's one of those daily newspapers that picked it up. Very quickly thereafter, they wanted to make sure people understood that it was a mistake, that they didn't actually see a planet. More than likely, it was a fog of a distant galaxy or something. So what they intended on finding, they found, then announced, then realized what their announcement meant, and then decided to clamp down and keep their story quiet and would not discuss another planet in their solar system for quite some time.
If NASA did discover, or should I say rediscover, a 10th planet in our solar system, then why would they have the need to cover it up? I mean, this would be the biggest discovery of the century, and yet, if it is covered up, there must be some reason to withhold this information from the public.
Planet X, as told to us by the Sumerians, has caused havoc on our planet in the past. As it discusses in the Bible, there's a day of Armageddon, or in the Revelations that fire will fall from the skies and there'll be all types of calamities of this sort. The Sumerians explained to us that when Nibiru, Planet X, passes through our inner solar system once every 3,600 years, it has gravitational effects on all the planets, one of them being Earth.
Every time Planet X passes, its foci is the Sun, so it's headed towards the Sun. And of course, planet Earth's orbit is really rather near the Sun. In fact, all the planets in our solar system are affected by the passage. But if Planet X passes a certain million number of miles away from Earth, you can expect a pole shift.
What causes a pole shift? It's very simple if you think of a couple of magnets, and when you played with them as a child and you lined them up end to end, North Pole to South Pole, and they snap together and they just want to line up that way. If you have a couple of planets with a strong magnetized core passing each other in space, the larger one is going to cause the smaller one to move. Just as a child, when you put magnets on a table, you found that when you pushed one toward another, you could cause motion, you know, almost like magic. So if the larger planet comes from the south, North Pole to the Earth's South Pole, at first everything is pretty much lined up. There might be a little tugging and confusion, but as the larger one passes the smaller one being Earth, it will actually grip its South Pole and tip it as it passes. So this is what causes pole shifts. The only time you have such a thing happening to a planet is if you have two planets highly magnetized passing in close proximity to each other.
This makes sense. If our little moon, that's only one quarter the size of Earth, has such an impact, gravitational influence on Earth, affecting our tides, affecting earthquakes, imagine what something 23 times the mass of Earth, 4 to 5 times its size, could do to us.
There's evidence that in the past, such as the Ice Age and mastodons being frozen instantly with still undigested food in their stomach all over the Earth, there is evidence that in the past we have had polar shifts or some type of cataclysmic event on Earth, which happens in cycles over time.
If this is in fact true, there would have to be evidence of these passages, ecological evidence, archaeological evidence that shows the calamitous events that transpired during each passage.
Our Earth gives evidence that we have had periodic pole shifts. There's mountain building in and of itself is evidence. These mountains are like pushed together. If you're in an airplane and you look down at foothills, for instance, it almost looks like a rumpled blanket, like somebody took a blanket and pushed it and rumpled it. Mountains are forced upwards with great masses of rock snapping. This is signs of great pressure, not the gentle squeezing and pushing that happens with earthquakes at all.
This is how the powers that be that are in the know are dealing with this information. Sometimes it slips out, and then they do their best to try to cover their tracks afterwards.
So where is the government in all of this? Aren't they supposed to protect us? We're the taxpayers. They have a defense department that's supposed to defend us. Why hasn't the government notified us that these terrible times are coming? Well, imagine if you were in their shoes. What would you say to people? We're not going to be able to feed you. We're not going to be able to protect you. Masses of people will die. But please pay your taxes anyway. They don't tell you because they don't have a plan. They also don't want to create panic. Up until the last minute, when they're sure this is going to happen and that nothing can be done, they don't want to be the cause of panic. Bank failures, people failing to go to their jobs, industry grinding to a halt. They feel that at least now things are rolling and the wheels of commerce and the like are continuing. So basically, they just don't know how to tell you. It's terrible news. They have no solution. They don't want to cause panic. So paralysis sets in and nothing is said.
In the years of the Reagan administration, there was a whole idea to push having a Star Wars system, that we would eventually be facing threats from space, whether it be missiles launched theoretically by the Soviet Union and have a space-bearing attack on us. We were publicly apprised of that they were going to set up a Star Wars system, a space defense system. And the other side to that is that there's been subtle nuances that also show, which tie into ufology and the whole trend with extraterrestrials. Is it not possible that the government does know more than they are telling us, with theories such as Roswell and aliens visiting us, that there could also be threats from outside our solar system, which we're now being made aware of subtly, like through the movies and media, like Deep Impact or Armageddon, or NASA releasing information saying that an asteroid could whack us in 2028 or thereabouts. It's making the public privy to this information so that they have a case history of events to desensitize us to this information, so that when instantly there is something new in the skies or in the heavens, we're not freaking out.
The government agencies, they are basically under contract not to tell you anything. The scientists have signed non-disclosure agreements, basically. They're under a gag order. It is impossible to go to a scientist and get a news release directly. You have to go through an official news release agency, and they would give you information that has been blended and made nice for you. They would put out possibly a web page that is the equivalent of third grade information, and hope that the general public takes this as the information that came out of NASA. When they have all this sophisticated equipment and incredible amounts of information, and today's populace is very sophisticated and intelligent and well-educated, it's really an insult, the information that they're putting out. And like I say, they're under contract not to put out any information. Only very nice pictures now and then come from the Hubble Space Telescope. And essentially, if some dramatic event occurs, they will not tell you about it. They're under contract not to tell you about it.
The behavior of this extra planet as it moves from one sun to the other is such that it spends most of its time between the two suns, kind of just hovering there, moving slowly in the direction it's going. But when it, a couple of decades before the passage, it picks up speed and rapidly gains speed so that it zooms through our solar system in a period of perhaps 3 months from one end to the next, a very rapid passage. Therefore, for a human on Earth to view this, unless they have something like the Hubble or the kind of high-powered telescopes that observatories have, very few observatories, they can't see it. It might be a tiny little blur up there in the sky. It has less visibility than Pluto, which is reflecting the sun's light. It has less visibility than stars, which have a bright, intense pinpoint of light. It's kind of a little dull red blur and very small. So approximately 7 weeks before its passage, people in their backyards or standing on hilltops can point to it and say, what is that reddish thing? It keeps getting larger. It keeps moving a little bit. And then they can see it. That's when it becomes visible to the average person on the streets.
This is how the powers that be that are in the know are dealing with this information. Sometimes it slips out and then they do their best to try to cover their tracks afterwards.
So where is the government in all of this? Aren't they supposed to protect us? We're the taxpayers. They have a defense department that's supposed to defend us. Why hasn't the government notified us that these terrible times are coming? Well, imagine if you were in their shoes. What would you say to people? We're not going to be able to feed you. We're not going to be able to protect you. Masses of people will die, but please pay your taxes anyway. They don't tell you because they don't have a plan. They also don't want to create panic. Up until the last minute, when they're sure this is going to happen and that nothing can be done, they don't want to be the cause of panic. Bank failures, people failing to go to their jobs, industry grinding to a halt. They feel that at least now things are rolling and the wheels of commerce and the like are continuing. So basically, they just don't know how to tell you. It's terrible news. They have no solution. They don't want to cause panic. So paralysis sets in and nothing is said.